Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Babasra Daf Nun. Hey, we left off in Daf Nun Dalar on Beis. We are at Rav Huna Zavan Ara Me Oved Kochav in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the end of the page on Daf Nun Dalar on Beis. Today's show is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom, Nisham Shevin Aliyah, as well as by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times in Atzlacha, for our soldiers and for our captives. They should return home safely. And as also by Chani and J.G. Hornblast, in memory of Chani's father, Meir Penstein, Meir Yosef Ben Avram, whose yard site is tomorrow, the Neshama Shavin Aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. What we're going to talk about today is, first we're going to continue the discussion with another Maisa about this unusual halacha that if a Nachri sells Karka to a Yisrael and he has received the money, he has relinquished his ownership of the Karka, but if the Yisrael has not yet done a Kinyan on that Karka, the Yisrael is not yet the owner of the Karka, and therefore it's open to anybody else to come and make a kinyan on that karka. So we're going to have a maisa that relates to that halacha, to that psak of Shmuel, and the Gemara is going to have a further discussion whether other piske halacha of Shmuel might change the picture in terms of when that comes up. Then the Gemara is going, once we're talking about the dinim of Shmuel, the Gemara is going to tell us 3 dinim that Shmuel taught relating to the rightful ownership of land. One of them is Dina de Malchusa Dina, but 2 others that relate to the rightful ownership of land. One of them relates to paying taxes on land. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether a person who is not a useful member of society, contributes nothing to society, bears a tax responsibility together with everybody else in society. Then on the bottom of Amrav, the Gemara is going to talk about whether physical boundaries separate fields for a variety of purposes, meaning do we consider a field that has a border between it and the neighboring field as one big field or as 2 separate fields as far as Kinyan Chazaka is concerned, as far as the mitzvah of Heya is concerned, as far as Dinim of Tuma is concerned, and then the Gemara is going to talk about as far as Hilchos Hotza'a B'Shabbos is concerned. So that's going to be all of Amud Beis. So when you have a border, you have a fence in between 2 fields, can we consider it one big field, legabe any of those halachos, or do we necessarily consider it 2 separate fields? So 5 lines from the end of the page, Rav Huna Zavin Arameh Ovid Chavim. So says Rav Huna purchased karka from a nachri, and he paid for it, but he didn't yet get a shtar. So if he didn't receive the shtar yet, he's not really the rightful owner of it yet. So Asi Yisrael Acher Rafik Baporta, and then another Jew, not Rav Huna, came and did a kinyan chazaka on that karka. He went with the shovel and he did a little bit of a chafira on the karka. So Asi Kamed Rav Nachman, the guy who was machzik with the chafira, came to Rav Nachman. And Rav Nachman said, okay, you can keep it because this is the din that we learned. So Rav Huna said to Rav Nachman, what? Why are you paskening that way that he's allowed to keep it? Domer Shmuel, is it because of what Shmuel said? That Nichsei Ovid Kochavim Harehin Kamidbar V'kol HaMachzik Be'am Zocha, the din that we learned yesterday from Shmuel, that Nechasim, that an Ovid Kochavim sells to Yisrael and receives payment for, but the Kona has not yet made a Kinyan on it, and he doesn't yet have a shtar on it, so it's considered like totally hefker, like a midbar, and therefore anyone could become and be zoch in it, which is obviously what he was paskening, right? It was obvious that he was paskening like this din of Shmuel, but Rav Huna has a point over here. He's saying, you want to pasken like that din of Shmuel, well then you should be consistent in paskening like Shmuel, la'avad limar ki'idach to Shmuel, so you should have also paskened like the other important statement of Shmuel. The Amr Shmuel, because Shmuel taught us in yesterday's daf that if someone is machzik b'nichse hager by just sticking a shovel in the ground on one little spot within that karka, lo kana el makom makosha bilvad, he's only kona that one little spot where he put the shovel in the ground, but he's not kona the entire field. We had a machlokas about this yesterday between Rav and Shmuel. So how come on that issue you're telling him he owns the whole field, and it's like Rav that we're making a little dig in the ground in one spot that he owns the whole field? If you're going to paskin like Shmuel against me, that his kinyan counts for something, so paskin like Shmuel that it only counts for that tiny spot in the field where he actually did it. So Amalei, Rav Nachman said back to Rav Huna, Bahai, Anakish my text, really. No, when it comes to that, I'm really holding, like, it shouldn't be Kishmaitin. It says the Rav Yaakov changes it to Kishmaitech. I'm really holding like what you taught, the Amar Rav Huna Amarav. Remember, it was Rav Huna was the one that lost out on this karka. Rav Nachman was the Dayan over here. So he said, I'm paskening like what you taught, that Kivit Shenikish Bam Makosh Echad Kanakula. You're the one that taught us yesterday in the name of Rav that you're kona the entire field when you just make one little dig in the ground. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out that even though we do have a rule in Halacha, that when you have a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, it's Hilchsa Kishmuel Bedini, we always pass on like Shmuel when it comes to Dine Mamanus, and therefore, L'chora, Rav Nachman should have passed on like Shmuel against what Rav Huna said in the name of Rav. He should have passed that just in that one spot in the field, he's only cornered that one tiny spot. But over here, since it's Rav Huna himself who said over the teaching of Rav, who taught us this psak of Rav, so Rav Nachman paskins for him what he taught. You have such a thing in the Gemara in Psachim Dav Chav Ches, when they used Rabbi Yehuda's own words against him, and he had nothing to say. And Rabbi Yosef says that kafa dechata nagra, that the spoon that the craftsman carved out for himself, that's what he burns his tongue with when he eats his hot soup. Meaning that you're the one that did it. You're the one that caused yourself this tzara. If only you would have paskened like Shmuel, which would have been the standard. It sounds like Rav Nachman, maybe according to Rabbi Yaakov Emden, would have normally paskened like Shmuel, but you yourself said like Rav. So I'm going to have to pasken like Rav on that particular halacha. So Sholok Rav Huna Bar Avin sent a message from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Yisrael Sholok Achsadu Me'ovin Kuchavim Uba Yisrael Acher VeHechzik Ba. Our case, a Jew purchases a field from Rav Kuchavim and pays for it, and then before he has a shtar for it, another Yisrael comes and makes a chazaka in it. We don't take it away from that second guy because we pass him like Shmuel that nichse nachri harehin kamidbar, that it's open season. And everyone passed like Shmuel. It wasn't a unique psak of Shmuel. All Rabbi Seinu said the same thing. Rabbi Avin and Rabbi Ilah all said the same thing. Now the Yad Ramah writes that since Rav Huna said that Rabbi Avin and Rabbi Ilah and Kol Rabbi Seinu paskin this way, it must be that this is halacha psuka and there is no suffix, that we taka do paskin like Shmuel b'toras vaday, that's the bottom line psak halacha. However, the Rashba is a little bit bothered because the lashon then should not have been that if someone else comes and is zocha, then ain't Motziyino Samiyado, which is what the Lashon is. That Ein Motziyino, we're not going to take it away from him. If you pass like Shmuel, it should have been Zachaba. Kala Machzikba Zachaba. Whoever goes and takes it, it's his. That's what Shmuel actually said. So if you're passing like Shmuel, that should have been the Lashon. So therefore, the Rashba writes that we dafka use this lashon of Ein Motziyin Miyado in order to teach us that it's really a suffix whether we should pass on like Shmuel, and therefore Beis Din just sits there, they stand down, they don't do anything, and they're not done any sort of din, not even the din of Kol Da'alim Gavar. Right? Normally there's a mechanism for Beis Din standing down, and that's Kol Da'alim Gavar, but we don't even do that, meaning, okay, someone has it, so he's got it, so he's Zocha. He gets Ein Motziyin. Not that he's zocher, but ain't motzino samiyado because it's a suffix. So the Ritva writes that no, the Lashon is coming to teach me that you can't take it miyado even al yedei nachri because that's going to be considered that you're motzi from him ba'ones, and that's what Mukhi Yosef quotes from Yesh Mefarshim as well. So again, three possibilities of what it means at the end of the day that ain't motzino samiyado. We have the Ad Ramah who says it means that we pass passed like Shmuel, and therefore it belongs to the guy who went and made the kinyan. You have the Rashba who says, no, it means we don't paskin at all. And Einamal Sinos Amiyadu just means Beis Din just totally steps aside. And you have the Ritva who says that maybe it means we're not 100% sure, but Einamal Sinos Amiyadu means you're not allowed to use a Nachri to be Motzi the Karka. Now, the story that we told was that it was Rav Huna who had purchased the Karka from the Ovid Chavim. He paid for it. He did not yet get a shtar. Frek the Rashba. The halacha is that the Yisrael is not kona karka from a nachri unless he received the shtar. What was Rav Huna thinking? Rav Huna knows that. I mean, I understand why someone else might get caught up making a poor decision and paying for it before he receives the shtar. This is Rav Huna. And as soon as Rav Nachum paskins, he said, ah, Shmuel, you're doing like Shmuel, like what everyone paskins. You knew it the whole time. If you knew that was the Pesach of Shmuel, why? And you know Hilchos Shmuel Bedini. Why on earth would you make such a poor decision? So the Rashba writes that Rav Huna held the halachas not like Shmuel. He thought Mekach HaMemkar with the Nachri is like Mekach HaMemkar with the Yisrael. And just like by Yisrael calls man that the Lokeach is not Zocha in it, the previous Bailim does not release their ownership of it. So he thought the same is true when it comes to a Nachri. And it's Muchach that way from the fact that Rav Huna asked Rav Nachman, wait, you're doing like Shmuel? So it sounds like he was taken by surprise that he was doing like Shmuel. He thought that this Psak Halach of Shmuel was not the accepted Psak. And that's why he got caught doing this. When he saw that Rav Nachman passing like Shmuel, he was able to identify it, but he didn't think, he was also taken by surprise by it. He didn't think that this was a run-of-the-mill standard method of Psak Halacha. So that's why he questioned it. Okay, so now the Gemara brings other dinim that Shmuel says legabe ownership of land, one of which is going to be dinim de Malchus Adina, which we mentioned yesterday. So Amar Rabba, Hani Tlas Mili Ishtoi Li Ukvan Bar Nechemya Reish Galusa. There were three things that Ukvan Bar Nechemya, who is the Reish Galusa, had said to me Mishmei de Shmuel, and he said them to me in the name of Shmuel. The name Ukvan Bar Nechemya comes up in Maseches Shabbos as well, so it's not unique in Shas. The title of Reish Galusa was given in Bavel after the Churban by Yesheni, to the person who was sort of the political leader running the Galus. So oftentimes it was a very big Talmud Chacham, other times not so much. But he said three things that Ukvan Bar Nechemya, the Reish Galusa, told me in the name of Shmuel. Number one, Din of the Malchus Adina, that the Din of the Malchus is an absolute Din, because the Gemara Baba Kama brings a raya that Din of the Malchus Adina from the fact that the Shluchei HaMelech are Koreis Dekalim without the Rishus of the Bailim. They could go into people's properties and they go and they chop down trees and they make bridges out of it. And the Chora, how could they do that without paying the Bali Dekalim? So it must be Din Malchus Adina. They have the right of eminent domain. They can go in and take over whatever property. They can go in and they could chop down your trees. They could draft your children to the army. Whatever the Din is, that's Din Malchus Adina. There are limitations that the Rishonim point out on Dina de Malchus Adina. The Ramban writes that yes, Dina de Malchus Adina, but Dina de Malka is Lav Dina, which is a significant limitation. What he means is that something that's a law that is almost universal, that in any government they understand that this kind of law is going to be normal and acceptable, that's going to have a status of Din. But a Din that a Melech makes, Lefi Sha'a, or some new law in order to punish the people, that never existed before, that will not be binding. And even when it comes to Malchei Yisrael, there are limitations of what can be done. The Ramban points out that we learn in Sefer Shmuel Aleph when the Jewish people first ask for a king. So we have Parshas Melech. There's a discussion in the Gemara. Kala Amur be Parshas Melech, Melech Mutarbo, or Melech Aserbo. That the things that Shmuel tells them, you think you want a king? You know what a king is going to do? He's going to draft your kids to the army. He's going to do all these things. He's going to take your property. So there's a whole discussion in the Gemara whether a Melech is actually allowed to do all of those things that it says in Parshas Melech. But certainly that which it doesn't say in Parshas Melech, he's not allowed to do, says the Ramban, right? It's a machlokas about that which it does say. In Parshas Melech. So anyway, that's one limitation the Ramban has, that Dina de Malchusa, but not Dina de Malka. Another limitation, which is not dissimilar, is Dina de Malchusa, Dina b'chamsenusa de Malchusa is Lav Dina. That if it's a din and it's a just law, so that's din. But if it's just a law that's meant to target a particular segment of the community, like let's say the Jewish people, and he's just stealing from the Jewish people, so that's going to be lav dina. That is not a binding din when it's not something that's that applies equally to all members of society. So that was din number one of Shmuel, dina de malchusa dina. Din number two of Shmuel, the arisusa de parsa'i ad arba'im shnin, that the chazaka for the parsa'im, the halacha is that it takes 40 years, meaning if they have the land for 40 years, that's a raya that it's theirs and it hasn't been stolen. The chiddush is that if a Jew buys from these parsa'i, the halacha is that if a nachri has been in a karka for 3 years, the nachri, normally we learned back in Daf Lamed Hayam and Beis, does not get a chazaka. And therefore, if a nachri was in karka for 3 years, he was living in that karka or using that karka for 3 years, and then sells it to Yisrael, and then another Yisrael comes and says, well, that karka was mine originally. The Nachri had stolen it from me. It never belonged to him, and therefore he had no right to sell it to you. It was my karka. So the person that comes with such a taina can take it away from the guy who bought it from a Nachri until the Kohen is able to show a shtar that the Nachri had in fact purchased it from that original Yisrael. So Shmuel is being mechadesh that in Eretz Paras, if the Nachri had the karka for 40 years, then he does have a chazaka. And therefore, if Yisrael were to subsequently buy it from that Nachri, then he'd in fact be Kona, and no other Yisrael would be able to be motzi it from him. That is pshat number one that the Rashbam brings in what this means of Arisusa de Parsai Adar Ban Shnin, that even though normally a Nachri does not have a chazaka, in this particular location, these particular Nachrim would have a chazaka. It just takes 40 years for them to have that chazaka, insofar as if they then sell that karka to somebody else, that somebody else is considered the rightful owner of it, even against some sort of taina, some sort of ir, or some sort of macha'a that someone might have. Another interpretation, says Rashbam, is that it's talking about a kinyan chazaka of a Jew, that even though normally there's a din of cheskas gimel shanim in Eretz Paras, for a Jew to make a chazaka in the karka takes 40 years, because that's the din of the malchus, and dina de malchus adina. So we follow the law of the land. The problem with the second pshat is that we said that there were three things we learned from Shmuel. Number one was dina de malchus adina. Number two was this, and then something else. Well, if this is just a specific application of the broader concept of dina de malchus adina, it's not really a second din. The Rabbeinu Yonah writes that there's another reason why it can't be the pshat, because he says the stam chukei hamelech are normally only for his own people, and even if he says that the chok is going to be also for the Jewish people, you can't force a beis din shel Yisrael to be done al pi chukav unless the it's being adjudicated in the arkos shalakum. So what are we saying over here? That a Jew in another Jew's karka is not going to get a chazaka gimel shanin? He's only going to get a chazaka in arba'im shanin? Why would that be the case? Meaning, din malchus adina is when it comes to Jew dealing with non-Jew, when it comes to Jew dealing with the government, when it comes to those kinds of things. Jew and Jew, if you have one Jew dealing with another Jew, you can't say, well, din malchus adina is that there's the Fed sets the interest rate at whatever. So when you lend money to another Jew, you should do so as such. No, Jew and Jew, there's an isser of ribbis. Jew and Jew, there's a din of gimel shanin. So that's where Rabbi Yonah says that he doesn't like that second pshat of the Rashbam. So that is din number two. Din number three of Shmuel, Vahani Zaharuri, these rich people who owned a lot of karka, they would buy karka, and the reason they owned a lot of karka is they would look for karka that was in foreclosure by the government, not because they had mortgages, they didn't have mortgages, but there were tax payments that these aniyim didn't make, and if they weren't able to keep up with their tax payments, then the government would put their land for sale, and any rich guy could come and buy that land that belonged belong to these aniyim. It could have been in their family for generations. But if they weren't making their real estate tax payments, so these haruri, these rich people would come and would buy it from the melech. So zavinar l'taska, if they bought karka al menasta, they're going to pay the taxes on it. So the king is happy to give them the karka. Zavinu zavini. The halacha is that their sales that they make in that karka are binding, and the bal hakarka, the original bal hakarka, cannot come and take it away from them when they're ready to pay the taxes, because these people had every right, midina malchus, to be there. That the halacha is in the malchus that someone who pays the tax, who pays the taxes, is the one who has the right to be yoshev bekarka, and dina de malchus adina. The Rashbam says this too is an application of Dina de Malchus Adina. But the Gemara says it's not true of all situations. Vahani mili l'taska. That's only when the karka was sold because the balakarka didn't pay the real estate tax, the property tax. Avalakarka. But if the balakarka didn't pay some head tax, something that has nothing to do with real estate, he just didn't pay the head tax that normally you have to pay to the king, then lo. Then it doesn't mean that his property is for sale and that these zaharuri are allowed to go and purchase this property. My time, what's the chilik between those two types of taxes? Because karga are karkav de gavri manach. The head tax is something that's on the individual person. So each person has to pay for himself, but not for his karka, and therefore the melech is not going to, the malchus is not going to take away his karka if he doesn't pay a head tax. Certainly not on a permanent basis. They may take it away as a payment until he goes and he catches up on his payments. That they're allowed to do, but they're certainly not going to. They may banish him. They may throw him out of the country or whatever. But they're not going to. They're not going to permanently take away his karka because he hasn't paid a head tax. Only if he hasn't paid a real estate tax. Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua Amar Afilu Sa'ari Dekada Mishtabdi Lekarga. That even the barley that's been detached from the ground, that's already sitting in a jar, and that's just a way of saying metaltalin, even something that's not at all mechuber to the karka is meshuba to the taxes that a person has to pay, and therefore the king is allowed to confiscate it if the person doesn't pay it, and therefore the king is certainly allowed to confiscate a person's karka. I mean, if the king come in and take anything that belongs to you because you haven't paid your taxes, the king could certainly come in and take your karka if a person hasn't paid his taxes, and therefore, even when it comes to this type of head tax, if the Avdei HaMelech sold that karka because the guy didn't pay it, so the Bala Karka should never be able to get it back. Meaning, Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua is disagreeing. Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua is saying, don't tell me that when it comes to a head tax, a king has no right to take it, and therefore the Zahariri who buy it aren't really the owners of it. No, the king has a right to take anything and everything if a person doesn't pay any kind of tax, and therefore these Zahariri who buy this land from the king are the rightful owners of that land. Some Ravashi, Amrli Huna Barnasan, Kashiba Amemar, that Amemar has struggled with the following. Im Kain, Bitalti Rushus B'Nabachar. If even the person's metaltum is Meshuba to the taxes, so then there's never going to be Yerushas B'Nabachar. The din is that a Bachar is supposed to be Notel Pishnayim, but a Bachar is Davalei Ra'oi, but a Bachar is only Notel Pishnayim, B'Mukhsuk, not B'Ra'oi. Meaning if the father had a whole bunch of property, he had a whole bunch of fields, so the Bachar gets Pishnayim of the fields. But what if the father had a Chov that somebody owed him, that there's someone that owes him $1 million, so that gets split evenly among the Yarshim when that guy finally pays back. That's only Ra'oi, that's not called Muchsak. So if the halacha is that everything the father owned was really meshuba to the melech, so it's ki'ilu the melech already had collected it, which makes it all ra'oi. It's all in the melech's possession. The assumption is that Rashbam writes that a shibud of the melech is stronger than a shibud you'd have to anybody else. Meaning, if the father died and he had karka still in his possession that was meshuba to a balchov or something, the bechor would still get pishnayim. time because the father still had it in his possession. But when it's meshuba to the melech, when the melech is able to take it away whenever he wants, that's considered a stronger form of shibud, that it's not even considered to be in the father's possession at all. So we're saying, well, wait a second, if that's going to be true, then it's always going to be considered ra'oy and not muhsak, and therefore the bukhar is not going to be able to take pishnayim. Shein bukhar notel per-ra'oy, kibba muhsak. A bukhar does not take pishnayim in ra'oy the same way he does in that which is muhsak. The Rashbam says, and so what? So what? Meaning, who says that in every single place, in every single time in history, that it always has to be that there's a din of pishnayim? Meaning, if let's say the father didn't have any property, he only had ratwi. So everyone would agree that the bukhar, in that case, if a man dies and he's not muhsak in anything, so then everyone would agree that the bukhar does not take pishnayim in that case. So the Rashbam says, so it could be in this location, in this place where Rav Huna Bredu Yishu was talking about that. Which is not the case in most countries and most times in history. So there is no din of pishnayim. Mechitesi that there always has to be a din of pishnayim. That's what the other rishonim write as well. And they say that the kasha of a memer was simply that if there was a shibud on all of the nechasim to the melech, so in that malchus there's not going to be pishnayim. And the problem was that they were nohek pishnayim. That was the gemara's real kasha. Not that in theory there's a problem with the din of pishnayim being inapplicable in a given location at a given time in history. It's just that they know that they were actually doing pishnayim still. So if they were doing pishnayim, why were they doing it if it didn't apply in that place in that time? So Amarlei, so Rav Ashi responded back to Huna Bar Nasan, Ihachi, if a memer was bothered that according to Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua, there's not going to be a din of Yerusha's Bechar because the nechasim of the father are all meshuba to the melech for tax purposes, well then afilu taskanami, he should ask the same thing about the real estate taxes. Everyone agrees for that the karka is meshubah. So, but if a guy for his real estate, there's never going to be a din of pishnayim. Elamaz lachlemeimer, the uptasko miss. No, the case must be that the guy paid his taxes and then he died. So if he paid his taxes and he died, so then there's no shibud, and then the king is not entitled to take it. And that is muhsak, and therefore there's going to be pishnayim. So chenami do have kargumis. So it's not that there's not going to be pishnayim. If a guy pays his taxes, there's going to be pishnayim. If he paid his head tax, so then he owns the sari bikada that he has in his house. He owns everything that he has in his house. There's no longer a shibud to the melech. So Amar Rav Ashi, Amar li Huna Bar Nasan, Shaltinu l'Safri d'Ravi. Says I asked the sofrim who would write the shtaros in Rava's home, va'amar li hilchsa k'Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, and they said that we paskin like Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua that even on a head tax, all of your nechasim are meshubad to the melech. Velohi, but the truth is, we don't paskin that way. That for a head tax, we're not meshabed, not karka, not metaltalin. There is no shibud that's created to the melech. And if you sell karka for the sake of such a tax, the mechira is that if the melech sells karka for the sake of such a tax, it is not a lasting mechira. Hasam lu'ukmi milsa huda amar. And over there, when the Sofrei Rava said that the halach zakrafun b'Rei Rav Yeshua, they only said that way because they wanted to be mekayim the shtaros that they wrote. Because apparently the Avdei HaMelech would sell karkaos where people didn't pay a head tax. They went to they needed scribes to write up these shtaros. So these were lawyers who knew how to write up shtaros. And that was the business that Rava's Sofrim had. That was their business. They were always writing up such shtaros. So they said that the halach follows that way, that these shtaros are valid shtaros, and these transactions are valid transactions. But really, the halach is not that way. We don't pass like that. Look, we milsayu means they were just trying to establish that what they were doing was actually correct. Okay, so now says the Gemara, va'amar Rav Ashi, perdachta misayeya masa. So pardachta means a person who doesn't contribute anything. He doesn't sit and learn. He doesn't do work. He doesn't. He's not accomplishing anything. Right? We assume that a person who makes a living and works and contributes to society is contributing in one way. A person who sits and learns all day is contributing with the protection of society and everything else. All of that is great. But then there are people that just do nothing. nothing, that, you know, they're loafers, they don't do anything. So that such a person, misayeh masa, he has to pay in the taxes that the Bnei Ha'ir have to pay. And even if he's not participating in anything, v'hani mili dat silte masa, but that din is only if the reason he didn't pay the tax is because other people in that town stepped up to try to save him. Meaning the Melech takes X amount of money per year from that town, and the Avdei Melech came to collect from each person based on an assessment, you know, of how it would be divided by each person. And they asked this guy, they demanded of this guy a bunch of money, and the other Bnei Ha'ir said, what are you asking this guy for money? He doesn't have anything, he doesn't do anything, so don't ask him for money. And they managed to sweet talk the Avdei HaMelech not to ask this guy for money. So what's going to happen if they don't ask this guy for money? They're going to go and get it from somewhere else. They're the Avdei HaMelech. They have to meet a certain quota. They have to bring in a certain amount of money. So other people are going to overpay. So even after they're off the hook, they still have to pay for it because other people paid on their cheshbon. Someone pays for it, right? There's no such thing as free, right? Aval andiski. But if people are tovea from each person, their chelek in the taxes that the king had set for the Bnei Ha'ir, and the Adam Batel didn't pay his chelek because they forgot to collect from him. They just skipped his house by accident or something like that. Then siyata d'shmaya he. Then he could assume he had a siyata d'shmaya that he doesn't have to pay. But we're not going to go after him afterwards to make him reimburse anybody since that was just special siyata d'shmaya that he was able to have. Okay, so now we had mentioned a couple of days ago that a din of Rav Asi, when it comes to two fields with a border in between them, that if you're machzik in one of them and you have kavana to be koneh the one that you're machzik in, and the neighboring field, you're only koneh the one that you're machzik in, but not the neighboring field. Meaning that a physical border between two fields makes it two fields and not one field. So the Gemara says, okay, what about other halachas? And this sugya takes us to the end of the daf. Is there any halacha for which a field that has a physical border in between it and its neighbor is considered one big field? So Rav Asi Amar Rav Yochanan, Hametzar, if you have a path that separates one field from the other, Vachatzav, or you have a certain type of plant that was typically used as a as a fence around the field. It's the type of bush that the roots go straight down in the ground, so it's not going to encroach on anybody's field, so it was ideal for use as just a physical barrier, you know, hedges to separate one person's field from the other. So mafsikin min nechse ager. It certainly makes it two fields when it comes to nechse ager. Meaning if a ger died and he owned both of these fields, and then someone came after the ger died, the ger didn't have yarshin, so someone came and was machzik in one of the fields, well, he's only kona that one field. He's not kona the neighboring field as well. Aval linyan peya v'tuma lo, but when it comes to the dinim of peya and the dinim of tuma, then the halacha is going to be that it's one big field. So kiyasa Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan afilu le peya v'tuma. Ravin said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, no, even when it comes to peya and tuma, we consider it to be two separate fields. So peya maihi, what's the din of peya that we're talking about that we consider it two fields or one field? What's the chiddush that being mafsik is legabe peya? Well, what are we saying? It's not, because it's a Mishnah in Maseches Peah. The Elu Mafsikin LePeah. The following barriers will make something a separate field when it comes to Peah. I mean, if you find any of the following barriers between two fields, you're going to need to leave a separate corner from each of the fields. You can't just leave a corner of one of the fields for Aniyim and say, yeah, that's Peah on everything. No, these are considered two fields and we'll need two Peahs. And they are Hanachal, if you have a stream that runs between the two fields. Vashlulis, you have a place where rainwater collects. Viderech harabim, you have a place where that's 16 amos wide, where people travel through. Viderech hayachid, or a 4 amos wide area where individuals travel through. Shvil harabim, or you have a path where people walk through. A derech is like where wagons will go through and horses and whatever, but a shvil is just a walking path that that rabbin will be able to go on, a shvil yachid, or a walking path that individuals can go through. But the point is that it's a physical physical path. Hakavua bein b'mosachama bein b'mosach shamim, as long as it's there year round, so no one ever plants there, no one ever plows there, but no one ever, and therefore no one ever has to hesitate about walking in that area, and therefore it's going to separate between the two fields. So all of these things are mafsik between the fields, and therefore you're chayiv in peya on each field individually. The machlokas Ravasi and Ravavin within the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan is whether a meitzar and chetzav, which are those hedges that we were talking about, are mafsik legabe peya, just like they are benichse ager, where Ravasi says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that they're not mafsik, and one peya is good enough for both fields because they're so close to each other, and the meitzar and the chatzav are not considered a hefsik between the two fields. But linyan chazaka b'nichsei ager, it is a hefsik between the two fields, and you need to make two separate chazakos b'nichsei ager. Because when it comes to chazaka b'nichsei ager, it's more mistaver that even that which would not generally separate two fields is considered a separation. Because why would we assume that way? Why would chazaka b'nichsei ager be different than all the other halachos? It makes sense because we had a machlokas in yesterday's daf that we alluded to earlier today between Rav and Shmuel. What if I go into Nichsei Ager with a shovel and I dig one dig in the ground? How much of the Nichsei Ager was I kona? There's even a shita that holds I was only kona that one spot. Shmuel's shita was I was only kona that one spot. I'm not even kona the whole field. So if there's such a shita that you're only kona that one spot, it stands to reason that even if you're going to say I'm kona the whole field, but the definition of the whole field may be a little more limited than the definition of what's considered the whole field, the gabe, other halachos. So that's the reason why Nichsei Hager, that's what Rashbam explains, why Nichsei Hager is different than Peya. Okay, so Tuma Maihi, and what's the chiddush about Tuma, that it is or isn't a separation between the fields? What's the halacha about Tumah that we're even talking about? Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah Maseches Taros. Hanichnas Labika, if a person goes into an area that has a lot of different fields, so Bimos HaGeshamim, if he goes in during the winter time where it has a status of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because that's when the fields are planted, so people aren't going to trample through the fields because no one wants to ruin the whatever's growing in the field. So it's important to know whether it has a din of Rosh Hashanah Yachid or Rosh Hashanah Rabim, because we're talking about Tumah, and the halacha is Safik Tumah Rosh Hashanah Yachid is Tamei, but it's Tavi Tum Bershus HaRabim is Tahar, V'Tuma B'Sad Aplonis. And there is Tuma in one of the fields in that Bika. V'Amar, and the guy said, look, Halakhti L'Makam Las, I definitely went into that Bika. I definitely went into that area of fields, that community of fields, at that time where it had a status of Rosh Hashanah Yachid. But I don't know if I walked into the field that actually has the kever or not. I may have entirely avoided the field that has the kever. I just walked into that community of fields. So Rabbi Lezer Mitar v'cham Mitamin. Rabbi Lezer says that he's Tahar, and the Cham say it's still called Savik Tum Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and he's Tameh. Why would Rabbi Lezer say Tahar? Shai Rabbi Lezer Omer, Safik Bia Tahar. Rabbi Lezer has a great chiddush where he says it's a spek sveka. And if you're not sure whether you actually entered the field, and then even had you entered the field, you're not sure if you came in contact with that tumah, so that's a svek sveka, and the halacha is by a svek sveka, we can go lekula. Tosos points out that Rashi says not that way. He understands that Reb Lazar's matari even besafek echad, that one of the fields, let's say, was malei kvarim, that there's no way if you went into that one field, you for sure came in contact with a kever, and the reason Rebbe Lazar is still mitaher is because every time you have a suffik tuma, it's not about a suffik bia. It's about suffik tuma, because we learned suffik tuma from sota, and just like by sota, vihinit ma'a is only when there was vadai stira. It's just a suffik whether they had bia or not, whether there was she was nivellas or not. So too by tuma, you have to have vadai nichnas and a suffik whether you were nokeya. But if it's a suffik bia, which fits the lashon of the Gemara a lot better, right? That it's suffik bia is automatically tar. Suffik maga is tuma. Suffik maga tuma is tame. If you have a suffik whether you touched it, then it's going to be tame. So the shita of Rabbi Eliezer is the subject of the machlokas between Rav Asi and Ravin within Rabbi Yochanan, that when there's a chatzav or a meitzar between the fields in a bika, that according to Rav Asi, the meitzar and the chatzav are not mafsik between the two fields. So therefore, even Rabbi Eliezer is going to be metame, because he's going to say, you went into the field, it's one big field. It has a status of one big field. But Ravin will say, no, the meitzar, the chatzav, are mafsik between the two fields. And therefore, this taka is a case of suffik bia, where you're going to be tar. It's a suffik whether you even entered the area, and therefore you're going to be tahar. Aval Shabbos lo. But when it comes to Shabbos, the Meitzar and the Chatzav are not going to be considered a hefsek between the two fields. Rav Amar Afilin in Shabbos, and Rav says even Legabe Shabbos they are going to be considered a hefsek between the two fields. What exactly is the discussion related to Shabbos? Whether it's one field, two fields, who cares? Where does that ever come up in Hilchos Shabbos? So Bez Hashem will begin with the Brisa that elaborates on that tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful day. A happy Tu B'Av to everybody. And see you tomorrow. Oh, yeah.